This morning we continue in our exposition through the Gospel of John. We are in chapter 4, and we'll be giving consideration today to verses 15 through 30. I titled this, as right out of the passage there, is one of the key themes of this, "I who speak to you am he," where Jesus speaks here. But let's back up just a tiny bit, again, more for the sake of the children than anybody, but sometimes the adults forget too. We're looking at this woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, this woman that we gave consideration to, that Jesus actually goes out of his way to go into this land of a people that the Jews will have nothing to do with, and he is the one who, even during his time in need of rest, says, "There's something more important than me." And he approaches this woman, which she found very peculiar. And as we looked at the story last week, he offered her this water. And the first verse here, it says, "And the woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water.'" Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where the people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then, the disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking to her with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" And they went out of the town and were coming to him. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus, we thank you for this word today, as we get to, at least in part, relive this event that took place in your lifetime here on this earth, as you dealt with this woman of low moral value. And Lord, we pray that you would use again this message to both encourage us and build us up, and at the same time, Lord, to point out to us our own neglect. Father, we recognize that you have given us your Son so that that he might die for us, but also that we might have in him the ultimate example of how the Christian should live and how we should direct our course of life. So we pray, Lord, again today that you would use this time to teach us, to build us up, to mold us and make us into that people who would be most useful for the building up of your chosen kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you remember last week, remember that Jesus, when he was talking to the lady last week, told her that everyone who drinks of this water, speaking of regular water, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of some of the water that I will give to him will never be thirsty again. But the water that I will give to him will become in him a fount of water springing up to eternal life. And what was the lady's response? Give me this water. Give me this water. Man, I wish that when I talk to people about Jesus and these things, that they would have that response. And I remind you that this was not, you know, this was a woman who was low in moral character. Jesus makes it very clear here to her, and we'll get into that in just a minute. But she understood, as soon as he's saying these things, if you can give me some of that kind of water, that's what I want. Yeah, because I'm tired of coming here every day. I'm tired of lugging around this big pot of water. And you can be sure this is a pretty big pot. I mean, historically, that's what they learned how to carry. Because it was more convenient than making a lot of trips. There were lots of other things to do. Life was very busy then. I mean, just cooking. Just cooking took up the better part of your day. Going to get water was a big chore, and God's saying, and so you were living in the desert. We live in the desert. You know what it's like in the summertime. You live in thirst. You're always carrying around a jug of water with you and chugging it down because we need the water. So she wanted that. Again, I think some of it was she understood the fact of what he was talking about, this eternal fountain of life springing up within you. This sounds really good. Thank you for that. Because we love eternal things when they're good things. You know, when we say eternal damnation, people go, I don't like that. Don't talk about that. When we talk about eternal good stuff, people want it. So, but she does even say, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. And that's where we ended up last week at that passage. But it goes right into this. So she asked him, yeah, sir, give me this water that you have. And Jesus said to her, okay. No. Again, Jesus' response is always the strangest response. You know, it'd be like somebody asking me, would you like to come over for dinner tonight? And I would go, you know, the moon's waxing high. Will you be working in 3 months? You know, and you go, what the heck does that mean? But that is how Jesus answers. He answers and he says, you know, he doesn't say, no, I'll give it to you. He says, go and call your husband and come here. Well, immediately, this poor woman, she thought, oh, man, I knew there was a catch. You know, that's how we feel sometimes. I knew there was a catch to this. Go and tell your husband. And the woman answered to him and said, I have no husband. And here's where it gets good. Because I could have left it there. I have no husband. Deep inside, though, she knew that not only do I have no husband, I'm talking to this guy that's offering me this eternal well of life. And I'm living with somebody that's not my husband. And remember, historically, you know, for these people, the Jews as well as those in these areas, when you did have a husband, if your husband died, you would marry someone else in the family often. But you would marry again. And so whether these other four husbands, the first, you've had five husbands, whether four of them were brothers or whatever, it doesn't matter. As long as she didn't divorce in a wrong way. or she hadn't left the marriage in a wrong way. If her husband's died, it's okay to get married again. I think Jesus is pointing out not so much to the number of the husbands, but the one you're living with now is not your husband. And I thought this was nice because this brought to mind the fact and reality that Jesus knows who we are. He knows who we are. And we sometimes like to fool ourselves. We like to pretend. I sent out something on Facebook this week. Some of you may have seen it. I was driving down Indian School Road the other day, and I was sitting at a red light, and there's a guy in his early 50s that was in a wheelchair with one leg, and I could see it was really one leg, and he had a sign and was begging for food and stuff. And so I happened to have some change laying there, and I offered it to him, and he came over. He's a Mexican fellow, and he looks at me, and I give him the money, and he says, "Thank you, Grandpa." Now, you know I don't have children and I don't have grandchildren. Anyone can call me Grandpa by mistake sometimes, or the Wilson children. But this was the first time an adult did this. This guy, you know, he wasn't that young. But it dawned on me at that point that, you know, I perceive myself one way. And I'm still like 20 years old. As I'm looking in a mirror, I'm like 20 years old inside this old man's body. And it dawned on me, there's the reality. This is who I really am. And this is what Jesus does with us, each of us too. We are each like this woman. Jesus knows all of our secrets. He knows all those things that we're hiding. And so he says to her, the woman answered him and says, "I have no husband." Jesus says, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is truth." Now, all of a sudden, the light goes off in this woman's head. And she realizes, this guy, I mean, how did he know? Because I've never met him. I've never seen him around town here. How does he know that I have five husbands? Or that I'm doing this? So, common sense pours down on her, and she said, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Today they use the term mentalist or different terminologies. You know, seriously, that's for people to say they do these things. But she realized there was something unique here. First, he had offered her this wonderful water. Now he's telling her things about herself. And do you notice, he's not condemning her, per se. You know, going, "You wicked thing, you had five husbands already, and the one you're living with now." He just answers her straightforward. He just lays forth the bare truth before her. And then she says to him, though, right after this, that our fathers worshipped on this mountain. Again, we talked about that last week, that they had built their own place. But you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." Now, again, a statement that must have been very perplexing. It would have been just as perplexing if he would have said it to the disciples. Even more so. They may have looked at him like, "What happened to you? Did you get hit by a rock or something?" Because, you know, we always worship in Jerusalem. That's the place. But Jesus is here also announcing that there is going to be a change. This is a worldwide change. It's something new, brand new. Something that you've never seen the likes of before. A time is coming and is now here. Not that it's just coming and it's down the road. It's coming and it is here. It's just not been put into the fullness of its effect yet. When the true worshiper of God will worship in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks
Now that's an important phrase there. For the Father seeks, or is seeking, such people to worship Him. He's not just seeking Jews. He's bringing out, again, in the whole event, this woman, I'm trying to wrap my mind around what's going on in her head, at least to some degree. As Jesus is saying all this stuff to her, He's already offered this wonderful, great, living water, this stuff that will never be thirsty again. It'll become a fount of eternal life. Then He lets her know, I know everything about you. Now He's telling her that worship as you know it will be completely gone because God is doing something different and something so much greater. Because God is Spirit and we are called to worship Him in spirit and truth. What does she say to Him at that point? The woman says to Him, I know that the Messiah is coming.
Again, does this just fit?
He didn't say anything about a Messiah, did he? But she just seemed to lay hold of this. I know that the Messiah is coming, and when He comes, He will tell us all things. You know, there's almost seems to be like a hint. She has a little bit of a, are you Him? You know, the Messiah is coming, I know it. It's all things. Because this is what Jesus is doing. He's telling her things. He's telling her things that she needs to know. And I don't know at what point is in this conversation this woman got saved. If it was way back where, give me this water, at the beginning, or toward the end here. But someplace in this whole conversation, this woman realized that the Messiah was real, and that the Messiah, well, we know exactly when she realized it, when she says, I know the Messiah is coming, and when He comes, He will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am He. I who speak to you am He. And let me tell you, this is the most clear pronouncement in the Bible that Jesus makes of who He is. If you ever want to take somebody to make it so that they understand that Jesus is the Messiah, take them to this passage. Because people go, well, how do you know He was the Messiah? Well, because John said so, or Paul said so. Well, because Jesus said so. And He said so in words that are so clear, you can't dispute them. And you can read this in the Greek, it all comes out the same. I who speak to you am He. I'm Him. Now, not of the book. It doesn't allow time for, well, what happened? What did she do? I mean, what was her thought when He said this? Did she like, oh, you know, or just then the disciples came back. Remember, the disciples were gone. They had gone to get some food. Just then they came back. And they marveled that He was talking with a woman. Remember I mentioned it. It was not a common thing just to go up and approach strange people, strange women or strange men, and talk to them. But especially a Samaritan. Why would He talk to this person? This is defiling yourself as would in their eyes. They marveled that He was talking with this woman, but no one said anything. This was one of those times where I think there was both a movement of God and a wisdom on that part where they didn't say to her, what do you seek, or why are you talking to her? It seemed to just be a silence there that we see. And at this point, and I like this because, remember, this whole thing's based around water. This woman came there to get some water. What does she do? She grabs up her water. No. She left. The woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, come and see. In other words, the incidental cares of the moment seem to be put aside. And we have to look at this sometimes in our own lives and be able to do that. We're no longer concerned with that which is most trivial, but now with that which is most important. Didn't mean that she didn't come back and get the big pot of water. But there was something more important to do at this moment. To go down and to talk to these people, because she is now following the pattern of Christ. Christ, we could see in Christ a readiness to show mercy to careless sinners. And she was one of them. And now what does she do? She's not saying, "Oh, good, you're him. What can you do for me? Bless me, bless me." But no, she says, she leaves her pot of water and she goes down to the people in the village. And remember, these were a people that probably despised her, because she was a woman of low moral character. I used the W word last week, because I think that this applies in a sense here to this woman. Nobody liked her. She had to come up to the well in the middle of the day, because the other women probably would scorn her and make fun of her. But what does she do? When she sees this blessing of who Jesus is, she goes immediately to the people in the town, the people that don't care about her at all, the people that she may not have cared about that much, actually. And she says, "Come and see a man who told me all that I ever did." Doesn't this give the picture that something, that the conversation was even more extended than we see here? I mean, we see part of what, she had five husbands and then this other guy. She says, "Come and see a man who told me all that I ever did." Now, I don't know again how far that goes, but then she asked the question simply of these men. And I'm assuming that these would be the leaders in the community. "Can this be the Christ?" Could be him. And this is the attitude that, we want to have in our own hearts as we're going. I mean, this desire, not the questioning. We know he's the Christ, but the desire to share this truth, because it says, "And then they went out of the town and they were coming to him." Later on, it goes on to say that many of them actually came to him. And so, and we'll get into that in weeks to come. But this picture that immediately upon this woman's understanding that this is the Christ. And I know she asked the question here of these men, but I think she already knew quite well, because Jesus had said this to her. And she already perceived that he was a prophet and understood these things, that he knew things, that he was offering her things beyond anything she could even begin to grasp in her own self. And so she goes down, but her attitude, her heart, was, again, selfless. It wasn't, "Well, what's best for me? Hey, let me invite this guy to my house and I'll have dinner with him and his friends, but I'm not going to share him with the village." And sometimes that's our heart. I've got Jesus and you can go get some of your own. But the reality is, there's enough Jesus to go around. There really is. And we need to be the people that are saying, "I've got that which is best in the whole world of all things. I've got the Messiah. I've got the Lord." You need the Lord. Again, remember, this goes back to water. Water, the basic necessity of life. You can live with just about anything less. People have eaten dirt. You need water. This picture. Here's what I am. The living water that wells up and brings refreshment and joy beyond compare. Oh, how our hearts, we should have this this infinite willingness that Christ had to share these. And we talked about it, these golden truths. You know, they're worth so much. Again, you know, I was sharing, somebody asked me, do you like gold? How many of I say to you, do you like gold? You go, no. Everybody likes gold almost. It's like women with diamonds. You like diamonds? Yeah, they're nice. Most women like diamonds. Almost everybody. Now, if you say, I got some gold, would you like some? Nobody's going, nah, it's gold. I don't like gold. This is what's compared to the golden truths. Those truths that are above all other truths, they should be treasured up in our hearts, but not treasured up in our hearts just so that we can treasure them. So that then they can be impressed upon others in our lives. And we need to be of this kind of person. The same as Jesus was, ready to, even during our rest at times, to say, how much rest do I need? How tired am I really right now? We are very blessed in our lives to know these things, but we need to remember that we live in a city of millions of people. And we live in a fairly affluent society, and yet most of the people, and I don't say most of the people in our lives, because our lives usually evolve around the lives of other Christians, but most of the people in our city don't know Jesus. They are starving for spiritual food. They are dying of spiritual thirst. And there's nobody that's going to them. You know, you would be surprised if you ever take time to go into the streets and talk to people about Jesus. There are people out there who go, oh, I don't like none of that Jesus stuff, you know. I've heard this all before. No, I don't have any money for you. But there are people out there who don't have a clue. They really don't. They don't know what's going on in this church. This one comedian said, it's like a haunted house to them. And they don't have a clue. And they don't want to go inside. But the reality is that we who are in Christ, we who have been blessed to know God, it should be our greatest desire in this life to be able to share the love, the forgiveness, the mercies of God in the same way that somebody at some point in our life shared them with us. And really, if that's not our heart, then we do have to examine and say, is this religion or is it Christianity? Remember, God was never pleased with just the ritual sacrifices that people made. It didn't matter how many thousands of bulls they killed and how much blood was poured. If the heart was not right, if the heart was not into it, if it wasn't done in spirit and in truth. And when we're saying spirit, it's not just any old spirit. It's in the spirit of God coming in the truth of His Word. And not just whatever truth you've accepted for this thing. We need to examine God's Word and see here. And I am clear that each and every Christian, no matter what intelligence or calling and gift they have in life, that each and every Christian has a duty to make known the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to some people. Sometimes in their lives. And so I call you to consider that this week. To again, if nothing else, start praying about it some more. How can you be more effective in sharing the truths of Jesus Christ with others? Now, I'm not as harsh on the children here because they're still growing and learning. But us adults, we all know people that aren't saved. And in some cases, we're not even praying for them. Oh, how Jesus was praying for the lost, for the ones, not for everybody in the world, but for the ones that the Father had given to him. He was praying for each and every one of them. He was praying for us way back then. He was praying for you and me. We need to be that same sort of people, people who are there, people who are desiring. We need to be excited like this lady was, willing to set down our own personal things and pick up that which is most important.